on KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now, here's your host for Chatterbox.
Hello, dear listener. My name's Alon.
And I am the ultimate reclining aura this evening.
And my name is Rich.
And we do the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show here on KFNX 1100 AM. If you want to call us during the show, feel free. It's 866-536-1100. We have quite a full house in studio today because of a guest that we also have on
a very special guest.
Very special guest. Now, how did we pull in this very special guest?
I don't know. There was something I thought very hard. I went into my temple and I meditated for hours, and I sent a psychic message for the top-rated Street Fighter player to be a guest on our show, and he answered the message.
So. That's fantastic. It might also have had something to do with evil controllers.
Something like that. But really, I think it's my psychic ability.
Our dedicated listeners will know that that we had evil controllers people on, like the founders of evil controllers, just like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. It's hard to keep track. We've had so many guests lately.
Yeah.
Maybe three.
Also, 3 weeks. Psychic effect, I might add.
That too. Well, clearly, you're the number one psychic in this studio, so I'll give it to you.
I just want to point out quick that I love the fact that R is actually sitting down this week, because he's always standing up, and he's like leaning back.
No,
and,
I'm literally reclining.
Stretching the microphone all the way out.
This microphone has
the
never
table.
Been stretched this far in its lifetime before.
All right, well, I have a feeling we're going to be talking a lot about evil controllers and Street Fighter today.
Yes.
So before we start with that, is there anything else we want to get out of the way? You've been playing more of that game that you play.
Dude, I can't get past the first level of Demon's Souls. It's not happening.
I somehow managed to get further than you did.
Well, you did, and I can only give you kudos for that.
Yes. Of course, you weren't there when I did.
Maybe we'll ask. We haven't even said who our guest is.
It's a mystery.
His name is
Mystery.
You want to keep it a mystery?
A mystery.
Maybe we'll ask this mystery guest if he's played Demon's Souls. And if he's gotten past the first
Something tells me if he has played it, he's gotten past it, probably in his first try.
Well, that would not surprise me.
All right, so we don't want to talk too much more about Demon's Souls because we've already sort of beat it to a pulp.
Forza,
and we can't
No more with that. Forza 3 comes out today.
Yeah, doesn't DJ
Came
Hero
out
come out today as well?
I don't know. What is that? That's like some kind of kids game or what?
Well, Nixie wrote on her Twitter, is anyone getting it today? And there was a picture of her playing it at a store. And I presume they wouldn't show it at the store unless they were selling it.
Was the answer no? Nobody's getting it?
I don't think people care about DJ Hero.
Shh. No, not at like $120 or something.
I know, it's crazy.
You know what's happened to me? Now, you guys know me. You know that I am the most rabid music rhythm game fan of all time.
Me and you both.
I have gotten so overloaded that it's like, I don't know, it's like... Music games have just like blended into the walls. It's
no,
like what
I'm
DJ Hero? Oh, that's just like another brick in the wall over there.
Actually, it's because you have such a craving for J-pop, and the music games no longer have J-pop in them.
Oh, that must be it.
Because they're not important.
That must be it.
Yes. I've seen the CDs you have in your car.
Oh yes, it's good times.
Now, Josh, you're here in studio too. Anything else you wanted to pipe in with?
About DJ Hero, or I'm excited.
Anything?
Well, I haven't played Demon's Souls. R looks very comfortable. And I'm excited for DJ Hero. And
okay.
You know, if you're listening and you want to get in chat, we're kind of lonely right now.
Oh yeah, chatterboxgameshow.com. We should mention that. That's our website. There's a chat over there. Josh mans the chat, as does Rich usually. I guess.
I'm laptopless today.
Yeah. What happened? Is it because your other laptop's still busted?
I've been playing too much Borderlands. Really, that's what it comes down to.
Dude, so my
that
friend
and drinking.
My old roommate dropped off Borderlands today. I'm not even there. Like it's waiting for me. And I won't even be able to play it till next week because I'm leaving town in a couple of days. So that's kind of a bummer.
I feel
kind of
bad for Johnny because he got the game and then he wanted to play with me. And then I was kind of missing all weekend long because I had friends visiting. So I was like out and about and drinking. And I was like...
And now you're ready to play and he gave
it to
me.
And now I'm like, all right, let's play it. And now he doesn't have it now. So
I don't know why. I didn't ask him to do that. He just came over, dropped it off. So anyway... So now it's time to announce our amazing mystery.
Can we reveal?
Yeah, we kind of already did just by saying what it's about.
Yeah, but some people might not know.
All right, so you go for it. You make the big reveal.
Well, our special guest tonight is the one and only Justin Wong.
Justin Wong? Oh, my God. But before we came in the studio today, I knew about as much as much about Justin Wong as I think he knows about Chatterbox.
And so the tone of your voice can be interpreted as being highly sarcastic.
No, so because in the brief moments. See, the thing is, I like Street Fighter and I play Street Fighter, but I don't follow the scene, right? But of course, we know Jorge. Jorge's been on the show before, right? Chatterbox, he's been here once.
So Jorge is going to be our special guest interviewer. Isn't he?
We're trying to get him on to help us because he knows more about Street Fighter than anyone I personally know. Jorge's with us right now? No, I don't.
Okay, that sounds like a robot. That does not sound like a person named Jorge.
Well, I can't hear him, Norm.
Can you guys hear me?
There he is!
We can definitely
hear
that.
Jorge!
How's it going, fellas? Hello, we still haven't brought on Justin. He's just languishing on the phone. We're going to bring him on in a second.
I thought I could maybe chime in on the DJ Hero game. I did play it quite a bit at the store the past couple days.
Okay, good or piece of crap?
So wait, you're just sitting at the store playing DJ Hero?
You're talking over him.
I'm sorry.
That's the only place to play it these days.
I guess.
Yeah. I played it quite a bit over at the Best Buy and also at this Game Crazy where my pals work at, and it's quite fun. Quite fun.
That's great. I'm if you say so, then I'm willing to give it a shot. But looking at that controller, I don't know. I just can't figure out what's going to be fun about it.
I have too many controllers. I never thought I'd say this. It's just too much. I have Bimani controllers. I have I don't know how many sets of stupid drums. I don't know how many sets of guitars. Enough.
If I'm correct, you only actually have one set of drums. Oh no, you're counting the original
Konami drums.
Has that set of drums even been used?
I think you used it once.
I don't think I ever used it at your house.
Then no.
Drummania drums?
No, the Rock Band drums that he has that he's never used.
No, someone used it. Somebody used it once.
Okay.
Dude, it's important just to have.
That's correct.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get back to Justin Wong since he'll be on the air in a second. So like I said, I didn't know much about him, but I because I don't follow the scene, right? Jorge, however, does. And I know Josh does a bit more. And because of us now, Rich has as well. But I do remember being over at Josh and Corey's a long time ago and them showing me this video, just this video of the game. And you don't know who's playing it when you're watching this video. It's just the game. And there's Ken and there's Chun-Li and they're fighting. And it's the most amazing Street Fighter video I've ever seen before. And I got to hand it to Justin. Unfortunately, he actually lost this match, but it was so close and it was the most magnificent bad beat I've ever seen. And probably
of all time.
He was kicking butt. He was totally set to win. And then, horrible, but also fantastic at the same time. So that's what I knew about him. And turns out he's on the show now. I had no idea. That's the guy. The big guy. The number one. Anyway. No, you go ahead. Go. Jorge.
Oh, yeah. Well, for the listeners that don't know who Justin Wong is, he's a competitive fighting game player, and he's a world champion level fighting game player for Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, Marvel vs. Capcom 2, Capcom vs. SNK2, of course, Street Fighter 4. And he's actually won various champion rankings for Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and he's the U.S. champion for Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, so amazing, all in one big bunch.
It's pretty legit.
Yeah, definitely
one of the best players, if not the best player in the United States.
Okay, so I'm going to need your help, Jorge, in bringing out the best of Justin. So, Norm, can we get Justin on the line? All right, I am told that Justin's on the line. Are you there, Justin?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I was just waiting. Oh.
Hey, what's up, Justin?
I had no idea.
What's up?
We have the best phone quality we have ever had before.
This is quite miraculous.
The stars are aligning. All those years of meditation paid off. That's
okay.
All I have to say.
Now, Justin, we've talked you up quite a bit. Do you know Jorge?
No.
Well,
no, he would not know me from. I am on sureyoucan.com. I go by the handle Hammer Frenzy. So I play in the Arizona scene.
Yeah.
So you might have played some of the guys here in our scene. Saber is one of the bigger players.
Oh yeah, I know Saber. I was in Arizona around I think June-ish for a tournament called Devastation.
Yeah, we were at Devastation as well. You actually got to play Saber directly, didn't you, for a little while? And I don't think he had such a great show in it when he played you, but he ended up doing pretty good later on in the tournament.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So Justin, let me introduce you to Jorge, our resident fighting game expert, and I have a lot of reverence for Jorge in this regard, because I don't know. When he talks, he just goes on, and I'm sure you do the same. But Jorge is amazing. So we only have a couple minutes, so I want to get a couple things out of the way. You're on the program today for a couple of reasons, but one of the important ones is that you have a connection with Evil Controllers, and we're all sitting here talking about Street Fighter, and we don't understand the connection to Evil Controllers and Justin Wong. So in the short time that we have before break, can you help explain that?
Yeah, I first met Evil Controllers at an MLG event, which has nothing about Street Fighter, but they had like an exhibition thing where whoever gets the most win streak gets like a prize. So I was there. I brought my joystick with me, and they did not let me allow to use it. So I had to use a regular Xbox pad.
We're talking about playing a fighting game.
Yeah, playing Street Fighter 4 at an MLG event on an Xbox pad, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's miserable,
that
by the way.
Sounds painful.
For anyone who hasn't done that, absolutely miserable. Yeah.
So I got up 100. I got a 100 game win streak, and you know, Evo Controller saw it, and then I met up with Jonah and you know the CEO of the company, Triforce. He started talking to Jonah about, hey, you know, since Justin has to practice with the GameStop tournament for Street Fighter 4, and the GameStop tournament uses a Xbox pad, and they let me use the Evo Controller pad, and the thumbstick was very different from the regular Xbox pad, where it doesn't really cramp up my hand, and then you don't get like a lot of sores from it when you play it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kept playing on the Evo controllers, 360, like their version of the 360 pad, and from that, like it made me like get more comfortable with just controllers / fighting games, because you know usually you would think joystick for fighting games.
Of course.
Yeah, but then their thumbsticks made me comfortable enough that I could perform like maybe at least 70% of my skill at the actual tournament, where it actually got me all the way to the finals.
Wow. So, we're talking about at this MOG event or at the GameStop tournament?
At the GameStop tournament.
Okay.
Now, wait, was that this the one sense. That we went to and then we got immediately eliminated?
Oh, yeah. You and I got totally crushed.
Yeah, that was bad times for us.
Using the controller was miserable, but I would have gotten my ass handed to me even with a joystick.
So the first time that you played that contest, Justin, what percentage of your skill level would you say that you were playing at?
Maybe at least like 25%.
Because the controller is so different. But so in the the GameStop competition, you still had to use the original pad, right? But you're just saying you practiced to get used to a controller using Evo controllers, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so they sent us over a couple things as well. They mentioned this thing called the Empire. This is something you're part of?
Yeah, that's the company that I represent. It's called Empire Arcadia.
Okay, so explain that a little bit more as well.
Basically, it's a corporation where they're trying to like help the culture of gaming by like music, health, competition, and like media. So basically, we have like all these type of players that have it's like a team. So we basically represent Empire Arcadia, and we go to tournaments for like FPS, fighting games, sports, and like you know every type of genre, to just like show that, oh, you know, we care for the community and we give back to the community by like we run tournaments for them, and we also you know try to like, hey, you know, come over to the ARC, that's like the base of operations.
Mm-hmm.
But that's also like where we train for like the other games, and you know we invite other people, you know, so they can understand like what we're trying to do.
Okay, well, we got to go to break now. We'll talk a little bit more about that and then a lot more about Street Fighter as soon as we're back. Stay tuned, everyone.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
And we're back. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. And we've got our special guest with us, the one and only Justin Wong.
And so we're going to bring him back on the air in 1 second after I announce to everybody that they should go to uat.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, and our wonderful sponsor. They keep us alive, just like I think Evil Controllers helps keep Empire Arcadia alive. And you can learn about them at empirearcadia.com if you can figure out how to spell it. It's exactly how it sounds, empirearcadia.com. So, Justin, you're with us, right?
Yeah.
And Jorge, you're also with us, right?
I sure am.
Oh, man, it's such a family. This is fantastic. So we were just talking about Empire Arcadia, or rather, Justin was explaining it to us. Now let's connect the Empire with Evil Controllers, right? Because we know you worked with Evil Controllers I assume they sponsored you in some way, and you practiced with their stuff, and you got better with the controller for your fighting games. Now, how does Evil Controllers help Empire Arcadia?
Well, Empire's like first official deal was Evil Controllers, or like they were like the first endorsement deal for Empire Arcadia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the main connection. So that, so when Empire Arcadia like goes out to events, we have like Evil Controller shirts on, you know, like jackets, and you know we use their controllers at the events depending on the game.
All right, and do a lot of events actually allow Evil Controllers, or? Well, I guess they could, like, if it's just the sticks that change.
Yeah, they allow it. It's like people always question, like, hey, you know, where do you get the controller because of the custom faceplate and, like, the different type of colors that the Xbox One has instead of the regular green one has, like, black, red, pink, and blue.
Mm-hmm. But all the special functions of it where it changes the rapid fire and all that stuff, is that permitted?
They don't really use those controllers. We usually play you for like puzzle games, like let's say we go into like a regular like a convention or a convention that like wants us to be there, mm-hmm. and it's not a tournament. You know, we just use their controllers there.
Okay, like for exhibition style.
You could also you can blind your opponent with that special light
with the LED.
You could just stick it up in their face, and then like you could probably go 30 seconds before they knew it hit them.
I don't think that light's that powerful now.
Yeah.
I had a question. Is Evil Controllers interested in making arcade sticks at any point, or have they already started looking into that?
Last I heard about it, they're interested in actually making one, but I don't know the progress since Evil Controllers has been really busy and since I've been really busy with traveling. So I've been traveling around like the nation, so I haven't really got back to like anybody really.
Now, I can tell you, Jorge, that they did... they hinted to us that they've got things in the works, but they couldn't really tell us about a lot of the stuff. So it would be interesting because there's not many companies that make – I mean, obviously there's the big ones we've all heard of that generally suck, right? When you go to GameStop and you see Pelican controllers or GameStop brand, which is basically just Pelican anyway, and Mad Catz is of varying quality depending on the thing that you buy, right? Like for the most part, the Street Fighter 4 sticks were good, but – then like whole batches of them weren't great. I don't know, depending on which one you got. My tournament stick works fine. But it would be great for a company, especially a local company that I could yell at if something went wrong, to take up the charge and make these. Because so far there are, you know, Jorge, there's a lot of companies that are really, really tiny.
Absolutely.
That makes sticks for people and they just sell them on the internet. So I would love to see them do that. In fact, I would love to actually go to their headquarters and see them making one. So, Justin, now let's talk a little bit about Street Fighter and your life in that scene. Like you just said, you're currently traveling the country and I assume playing in tournaments and stuff. What is your life like these days? Since obviously you've built up a following and this ranking as the number one, at least U.S.
Since Street Fighter 4 came out, I won the GameStop tournament. I've been traveling for like a lot of Street Fighter events or just industrial events like E3 and PAX. I've been like traveling for at least like 6 months on a plane back and forth.
And that doesn't get it just a little bit frustrating, does it?
It does, because I don't like flying since I'm scared of flying. So I try to just sleep through it. But other than that, it's fun, you know. But sometimes I get homesick and I just want to stay home sometimes. But you know, I gotta do what I gotta do.
And you're from the East Coast, right? There's the whole idea of you being East Coast versus West Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm from New York City.
All right, and how does that play out when you go over to, like, I want to say West Side, right? When you go over to Cali and you're playing in tournaments, does it actually turn into this West Coast versus East Coast?
Oh yeah, I'm an enemy when I go to like not my territory. So when I'm in California, you know, like if I'm in a match, everyone's gonna just be around me and try to psych me out or like you know, go this guy, go that guy from California that's representing California.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was just in California for, like, maybe, I think, 3 weeks ago.
That was Fight Club, right?
No, for bar fights.
Yeah, for the Z-Tech bar fights.
Yeah, it was East Coast. It was an Empire team versus West Coast. So it was, like, me, Marn, Arturo Sanchez, Anthrax Kelly, and I Love You Joe against, like, the best of SoCal. And there was at least over 500 people from SoCal there. And, you know, it was basically 505 versus 5. So, you know, but we kind of like, you know, it was kind of quiet in the end because we kind of dominated really bad. But, you know, they were all friendly, though. Like, after non-Street Fighter match-wise.
So I'm going to tell a little anecdotal story for a second. When I was younger, back when arcades actually existed, more than just in a few places in California, I would go to arcades frequently, and there was always, you know, a lot of people playing Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat or whatever the big game was at the time, right? And you'd have these small pockets of people who knew the game, and you would see at the arcades a lot. Killer Instinct actually was a big game that I would see the same people over and over playing. But there wouldn't be, like, really big groups of people. There wouldn't be, like, parties at the arcade machine. People come over and, hey, Friday night we're going to be at wherever playing this game. And then, I don't even remember how many years ago, it was probably like 5 years ago or 8 years ago, I'm at Southern California, some golf land, and I knew some people over the internet. I don't remember how I met them, right? But I was a big Dance Dance Revolution player, so I don't know if that's your scene, Justin, but it certainly was mine for a while. And like Street Fighter and like lots of these other games, there's certainly a following, and I end up at this like birthday party for some kid at some relatively small arcade with DDR, and there's so many people, and they're all playing. And we've all seen it quarter after quarter after quarter, coin lined up on the machine. It's just DDR player after DDR, and they all know each other. And I went to some DDR tournaments, not necessarily at that arcade, but at the other arcades. The arcade scene, way cooler than playing at home when you don't get to play a lot of other people. Now with online gaming, it's a little bit different. But like for some of the kids listening to the show now, like Rich, for instance, who's so much younger, you didn't get to see this, did you?
No, I was never. I didn't.
Yeah, you missed out, man.
That, and I mean, up until I was 10, I lived in middle of nowhere, North Dakota. So
oh, that helps too.
That
right?
is kind of a big part of it.
And that was up to like almost 2000, right?
Like 95.
All right, but, whatever. Maybe I don't give you enough credit, but man, like. For those people listening who haven't had the chance to actually see a group of people at an arcade all interested in the same game with the same fervor for it, like it's not even all competition. It's just liking to be there and liking the game. And that's true, I guess, of sporting events and all sorts of things. And I imagine, Justin, that's the sort of feeling you get every time you go to one of these events, whether it's in Vegas or California or Jersey or New York City or wherever. And that's kind of an interesting feeling, especially that you're the one guy, well, one of a very small number of people that everyone's looking up to.
Well, yeah, I grew up from the arcade. Like, I was just a random Chinese kid from the arcade just playing games. And then one day my friend said, hey, come to a tournament. And then just from that one tournament, like, I didn't win. I got fifth place, but it was just a really fun feeling. I just kept going to tournaments after that. That just started everything. So, like, the closest thing for people that hasn't had the arcade feeling, like, you might not have an arcade scene anymore, but the closest thing is to go to a tournament because that's where all the people that will gather for a specific game that you're interested in, like could be like Halo or Street Fighter or just any type of genre. You know, if you want to meet some people that play the same game as you, you would have to go to a tournament.
So I got a question here actually. So when you first started playing Street Fighter, were you just awesome right away, or did you feel like there was something special there in terms of like, were you just like, did you automatically just like take to it right away? Did you feel like you were better than other people, or did it just like come more naturally to you, or was it different?
Oh no, I was like a really big scrub when I first touched a fighting game. Like I was like button mashing. I didn't know what I was doing. I was just pressing buttons, right? Like I used to play like a lot of PC games, but that's when like, I went to like a LAN because I didn't have a computer back then.
All right, so hey Justin, I don't know if you can hear the music on the phone line you're on, but we've got to go to break right now.
Okay.
We'll be back, and then I want you to hold that thought, and we'll get back to that question in just a few minutes.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
And we're back, Chatterbox Game Show. If you want to listen to our past shows, you can go to chatterboxgameshow.com. You can also listen live from there and join in the chat. Now, I mentioned the past shows because What Up G reminded us that this is actually episode number 300, and I always give the little sidebar.
Week 300.
It's only week 300. It's not technically show 300 because we skipped a couple in between there. But, virtually 300 shows. That's almost 6 years. It's crazy. In January, actually, is when we'll hit 6 years. Something like January 15th or 19th. I don't remember. One of those was our first show. And, that's a long time. We were here before podcasts, which is how I assume most of our listeners actually catch the show. So, yay for us. And with that, I'll also remind people that next week, if you listen live, you're going to have to probably change when you listen, right? We stay 9 o'clock for us. It's always going to be 9 because we don't change time with daylight savings time, but you probably do. And if you do, if your time clock changes, then pretend it didn't and listen at whatever time it would have been, meaning 8 p.m. West Coast, 11 p.m. East Coast, starting next week's show. Unless, of course, you're in Arizona, then it's still 9 p.m. And I hate this time of year. All right, so Justin, you're back with us, right?
Yep.
All right, so to remind everyone, this is Justin Wong, amazing Street Fighter player extraordinaire. And we've also got Jorge on the line with us. And Justin, when we went to break, you were just telling us about how you got basically into the fighting games. You started off small, and by small, I just mean beginner, and obviously built up quite some experience. So continue telling us about that.
Yeah, before, I used to play a lot of PC games at like a local LAN center, but since they got too expensive and then I didn't have a computer at home, I just went to the arcade where, you know, you just put like 25 cents, 50 cents to play some Street Fighter. And, you know, from there, I lost a lot, like really bad. But, you know, since it's so cheap, I just kept going and going. And I even came at odd hours when no one was there, so I could just practice by myself since those games didn't come out for a console yet. You know, that is when, like, Dreamcast was first announced. So they didn't have, like, all the new games for, if they did, it wasn't the actual arcade version. It was mainly like a console version where it's different from an arcade.
Oh man, back in the day, I would hang out on the playground during lunch break with my friends and dream about, for birthday parties, renting a real Street Fighter arcade machine. Well, Street Fighter 2. We could get a real Street Fighter 2 arcade machine for our birthday. That would be so awesome. We could play all day.
That would be good.
That really happened. We didn't get the machine, but the dreaming of getting the machine really happened. All right, keep going.
All right, so from there, you know, I started making friends that, like actual veterans, like some guys like John Gordon. Like, he introduced me to, like, other people that play Street Fighter competitively. And, you know, he always took care of me and said, hey, you know, come to this tournament, come to this session. This is where we're going. You know, this is where you can practice. So I was like, all right, you know, he took me to a tournament one day and, you know, I got fifth place, but it was like a really good, he took me to a tournament one day and, you know, I got fifth place, but it was, you know, I could see where I'm at this level, and I'm right now I'm at this level, but if I keep playing, maybe I could be, you know, I could see where I'm at this level, and I'm right now I'm at this level, but if I keep playing, maybe I could be number one someday. Cause my goal at the time was to beat, he was a legend in the East Coast. His name was Eddie Lee. He used to be the Street Fighter champion before me. So that was my goal, reaching to him. And, you know, once I did, you know, like, I just kept going to tournaments. I started flying, traveling more. And, you know, this is, and now here I am, you know, doing Street Fighter 4, touring the country, playing Street Fighter 4.
That is quite a lofty goal to say, you know what, I'd like to be as good as that guy who's the best. You know, I'll just practice a little bit, and I could totally be there, no problem. How long did it take you from the time that you met Street Fighter to the time that you were ranked like number one in your area?
Like a year.
Man, I had a friend. All right, earlier you asked him this question. All started like, were you good right off the bat, or did you have to get good? I have a friend, the one I grew up with, dreaming about the arcade machine. He would, whatever new fighting game came out,
yeah,
he would just completely destroy me at. It didn't matter. Like, Street Fighter 2 was the start. I was like, hey, we should play this game. Take a look at it. It's good. And instantly, he was better than me after very little time. And then, didn't matter. Mortal Kombat, Killer Instinct, new Street Fighters, whatever. He'd pop in his first quarter and just be whooping me from the get-go.
I find this to be very interesting, and I have a few theories, although I've never really figured it out for sure, right? I always have this feeling that, you know, people who are, you know, like you, Justin, like one of the best, like maybe you started out as being better than others, but of course, like you said, like that was totally not true. But, you know, in that case, you know, I'd put it to you, like, what does what is it that the champion players do that sets them apart from everybody else?
Well, the number one thing about it is that we don't really play like robots, or we don't look at like if there's like a tips and tricks thing, where back then Tips and Tricks magazine had like all these strategic.
I used to work for that magazine, by the way.
They had like a Marvel's Capcom 1 issue, right?
Yeah.
On how to learn this character, and you know, this is what you should do with that character. See, the thing about that is like, you know, you're just reading up and you're basing the playoff by theory, where like it doesn't really work in fighting games. You have to play by instinct. So, you know, creating your own type of style, creating your own type of like combos, creating your own just type of everything, and following an online source, or you know, just like a reading source. Because if you do that, then you're not really implying your comfortable way of playing. That's what really like separates from top players to like average players.
People who pay attention. You play your opponent, not the game.
How many hours of Street Fighter would you say you play per day, or fighting games in general? Whatever your expertise.
When I first started, I played like at least 7 hours a day.
Oh my God!
See, that's the second part of my theory, and actually, Justin, you can comment on this. My other theory is that the people who are the best also generally just tend to play more than everybody else. Do you think that's true?
That's not true, because I know a lot of people that play like just as much or more than me, but they just can't pass that gap. It's because like the competition that they have is not as good enough as other places, because you know you can only get good from where you like depending on the competition you have.
Yeah, I think practice is certainly a component, but he's right. Like you've got to be chasing that lion.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is that the right metaphor?
And it's maybe we can kind of clarify this a little bit for our listeners, but I think what you're saying, Justin, is that like if the people around you aren't as good as you or are only at like a marginal level, then you're saying that you're not going to get much better playing against them, but you would get much, much better if you play against people who are far surpassed above your level, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you got to learn from their people and they learn from you, and it's a big circle. Now, we brought Jorge onto the show because, as I said earlier, he's our resident expert. So I kind of want to pass this off to him because he'll have a lot more introspective questions for you than I could even come up with. And so, Jorge, I'm going to bring you on. And as I do, I'm also going to remind, and this is perhaps a little bit more for Justin because we had to bleep him earlier, just a reminder that we're on actual radio and we can't swear. So,
okay. Sorry.
part of anything you say will be cut off if we do, and we don't want that. So take it away, Jorge.
All right. Hey, Justin.
Hello.
Okay. Hey, I just had a couple questions for you that I had gotten together for you. I just wanted to kind of have a little bit of information on what you think of the competitive Street Fighter scene right now. Now that Street Fighter 4 has been out for a little while, you've had some more time to play it. You know, how do you feel about it? I mean, there's a lot of new players, a lot of other major tournaments going on. How has the scene changed for you since you've been playing Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and Capcom vs. SNK2 as to now?
It's definitely a lot better since before Street Fighter 4, it's mainly the underground fighting game scene where you only get like maybe up to like 500 people per like major event, but now it's like over 1,000 or 2,000 just because Street Fighter 4 is so big and popular. And since like everyone knows about Street Fighter 4 because of the whole GameStop tournament, I think they had over 100,000 entrants. So at least 100,000 people has played Street Fighter 4 competitively. Maybe at least 40% of that number kept playing competitively or just interested in the scene, which is also good, which made like a lot of people came out for Evolution 2009. Like there was so many people at Evolution 2009 for Street Fighter 4 just for that game. It was ridiculous, and it makes me really happy because that means the scene is growing. That makes it more chances for fighting games to blow up, and also you know all the new players. You know, I definitely hope that they keep playing just because even if it's their first game, Street Fighter 4, like they might not have the old school ways on like footsies or just like you know old school tricks in general, where old school players have the advantage over new players because they have more experience. So just because the new players are new, you know, I recommend that they should try the other Street Fighter games just so they can understand what an old mentality mindset is.
Okay, and I know a lot of the new players have come from a different background too. Like, there's a lot of people playing Blaze Blue. Tekken 6 came out today. Of course, there's going to be a new Street Fighter 4. Do you kind of see a difference in how new players play Street Fighter, especially with Street Fighter 4 having a lot of old school elements? Again, there is still a lot of the footsie elements. There's a lot of knowing your matchups and whatnot. Seeing a lot of the newer players kind of start trying to use some of these old strategies, do you kind of see a real difference in how they play versus how old school players play and how some of the younger members play?
Yeah, because if you're new school, you don't really know, like, you can't really predict what the other person is going to do. Like, if you never play Street Fighter, period, you wouldn't know what, like, Ryu, Ken, Akuma, Guile, Chun-Li, all these old school characters that they're capable of, compared to if you played the old school Street Fighter game, you know the characters' movesets, and you know what these characters have to offer compared to the new players, where they just pick up the game, they learn some cool combos, and then, you know, let's say, all right, let me go to the arcade and see what I can do.
All right, there's that nasty break again. Everyone, stay with us. We've got plenty of more questions as soon as we're back, and that will be in just a moment.
It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and it's the final segment of our show.
It is. We've got very little time left, so I'll breeze through our sponsorship message, reminding everyone to go to the University of Advancing Technology's website, uat.edu, to learn about the programs they offer and how you can get into the gaming industry. Now, we've got Jorge on the phone. We've got Justin Wong, experienced expert, grand champion Street Fighter player. I want to revive Jorge's question a little bit. Right before break, he asked about how players differ, new players to older players. So I want to ask it this way. How have the style of experienced players changed from people who've been playing for, let's say, the past 15 or 20 years since Street Fighter 2 came out versus people who are really good nowadays, but they only started playing these fighting games the last few years? Do they have different styles?
There are different styles. You know, like new players, they would take more risk because they don't know. They're not really sure, okay, you know, if I take this risk, how bad could it be if it's not in my favor? While old school players, they're more careful or cautious because, you know, they have experience from the other games what, like, a lot of people can do to these people. Like, if I was Ryu and a new school player jumped at me, like, I would at least take at least 50% of their life, where a caution player would take more calculated risk.
Just like that. Just like 50% or like just like that.
At least 50%.
Yeah, just like he's jumping. All right, he's half dead.
I would love to know how to do that. I would love it. So I want Jorge to come back in here, and I know he's got a couple things on the list. Real quick before he does that, though, Justin, will you make fun of me profusely for using American arcade controls like concave buttons and hapsticks?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't think that's the... The in ding.
All right, these guys all make fun of me.
We all give them crap for
Seth expressly told me, because that's what I prefer. And Seth was like, no, a lot of the top American players prefer that too. You're not alone. So, anyway, I'll leave it to Jorge to make fun of you later.
I think Seth was just trying to be nice.
All right, Jorge, it's your.
All right,
your
so,
mic.
Thank you. Okay, so. You know, you had a huge background in Marvel vs. Capcom 2, and you seem to still be playing it quite a bit, but you seem to have focused a lot of your attention to Street Fighter 4. Where do you think the competitive Marvel vs. Capcom 2 scene is at right now? Like, can it go anywhere? Is it going to keep on growing? Do you think that maybe the re-release of Marvel vs. Capcom 2 on Xbox 360 and PS3 is going to make the scene bigger? Or, like, where do you think it's at right now?
Like, I think the tournament scene for Marvel vs. Capcom 2 is not going to last that long, unless, you know, magically Marvel's Capcom 3 comes out. But other than that, like, even though, like, Xbox 360 and PSN has the Marvel's Capcom 2 for that, the online system, like, you'll have more casual players that'll get into the game, but you won't have a lot of tournament players, in my opinion, because even in tournaments now, they still use Dreamcast version for Marvel's Capcom 2, since that's the closest to beat Arcade Perfect.
Sure.
So there is no tournament that's using Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 for Marvel's Capcom 2.
And is the PS3 version or the 360 version so much different than the arcade one that it needs to be played on the Dreamcast still?
There's like this, like Cable, the character, he has like the Hyper Viper Beam special.
Sure.
Like, all right, if you do that in the air while the character is still moving forward, you can't block it. Even if you press back before the super comes out, you can't block it. So it's like a big glitch. So it's kind of not fair.
Okay, so there seems to be some inconsistencies when they were porting the game over that just kind of messed up how the game plays, so they just played on the Dreamcast at this point.
That's weird, though, because, Justin, you and I'm sure a lot of the other people that you play these games with have a direct connection to Seth and other people at Capcom who could get these things resolved, and they're just not going to fix it?
No, I heard that they just released a patch for Marvel's Capcom 2. I think maybe last week at Fight Club, they had the patched version of Marvel's Capcom 2. I didn't really play it because I was more focused on the new Tatsunoko vs. Capcom, the Ultimate All-Stars, and also just the Super Street Fighter 4. So I didn't really test out the Marvel's Capcom 2 patch, but I hope they fixed that in the patch. But even then, it wouldn't really matter because the sticks that mainly all competitive Marvel's Capcom 2 players use, or they use MOS sticks. It's like MOS systems where it's like the arcade style with like the big joystick and like I forgot what they call those type of buttons.
The concave buttons.
I think it's concave buttons.
Yeah.
But that's the arcade style version that they use.
Oh, they use concave buttons, do they, Jorge?
Yeah, apparently for MVC too. I see a lot of people using just normal Japanese sticks and Sanwa buttons, but I guess there's some people playing on MOS sticks.
Interesting.
Like all of New York City and all of California, like all the top players from there and New York, they all use the American style. Because that's where Marvel's Capcom 2 first released, at the arcade. So that was but there was no such thing as Japanese Sanwa parts at the time.
And is this just something that happens with Marvel vs. Capcom 2?
It was mainly Marvel's Capcom 2, but then since Third Strike and Capcom SNK2 also had the American style, but since Japan was a really big competitor in that game, I guess a lot of Americans just like converted to the Japanese way just because of that. But since Japanese aren't that good at Marvel, Americans never translated Japanese style into Marvel because they're like, okay, Americans are superior with this type of joystick for Marvel, we'll use this one. But I tested both sides, like a Japanese stick for Marvel, and then American. I prefer the American so much because the Japanese buttons are too sensitive for the game.
So
it doesn't really work.
How is that different from Street Fighter? Wouldn't you want the same stick on all the games?
No. Street Fighter has...
they're like, oh, silly.
A lot of dash problems. You dash with two buttons and stuff, so it you might have to have... You don't hit the diagonals as much as you would hit them in Street Fighter.
All right, unfortunately, we missed a little bit of what you said because everyone in the studio was laughing at me simultaneously. But this blows my mind that, like, I would never care. Like, if I like one stick, I would use it, and it would work the same. Especially because, honestly, who's going to tell me that Marvel vs. Capcom and Street Fighter are that different? Like, I know obviously... I know from your point of view they are, right? They're pretty different, but I'm like, I could use this stick on Pac-Man. Right, that's how universal a joystick is. So that's a drastically different game. This is still a fighting game with six buttons composed of two rows of three buttons. Like, basically the same controls.
Yeah, the gameplay is so different that the control, you can really feel how the sticks respond to you and how they play with the game and the systems within the games. So Marvel vs. Capcom 2, all those Versus series games play so radically different from the Street Fighter series that they just feel different when you're playing them.
Dude, my mind is blown.
I think that's just a testament to just how advanced the level of play is that these guys are involved in.
I had a question for you, Justin, and this is kind of goes back to what the guys were speaking about when they first came on the show, and they were talking about obviously that famous video of you playing Daigo at Evo and the parries, and it seems like that question's asked to you a lot. You know, how was it like playing with Daigo? My question for you is, you know, with this last year's Evo, we got to see you play Daigo, and there were some intensely competitive matches. You know, it came right down to the wire, and you played incredibly well. What is it like for you now, you know, growing up, seeing Daigo, seeing the Japanese players? And I don't know if it was like this for you, but it was like this for me and many other Street Fighter players. We kind of idolized the way they played, the way they play their characters, how they handle matchups. Now you're at a level where, you know, you're kind of showing Japanese players and just showing the world that American players are indeed competitive at a Street Fighter game. What is that like for you?
Well, it's definitely good that Americans, they understand that, oh, you know, Japan isn't that invincible. Like, they can, you know, you can touch them, and, you know, you can actually, like, have a good chance of winning. It's just that the fact that in Japan, like, I've been in Japan, like, the way they play, they're a lot more dedicated, and they play a lot more than Americans. And they're all united. Like, you know, in America, since there's a lot of tournaments and there's a lot of money prizes, a lot of American players, they don't like to show off their secrets until in the actual tournaments. In Japan, like, their tournaments, you don't really get any prize money for it, actually. You basically play for pride in Japan. So, you know, they don't mind showing off their new tricks back and forth. But, like, here, you know, show you this new trick right here and try to counter it. While in America, you have to wait till, like, the actual tournament to find out the trick.
All right, so, everybody, unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. Every week, it comes and goes too fast. So, Justin, I'm going to cut you off a little bit short. I want to remind everybody that Justin is endorsed by Evil Controllers. You can find them at evilcontrollers.com, and he runs his own thing at empirearcadia.com. Also, he has a Twitter account, J Wong with 3 G's, JWONGGG. Am I right? That's the right Twitter account? Okay. Well,
I'm pretty sure.
We'll just pretend it is. And we've got our own Twitter accounts too. You can find those on our websites and on Golgotron.com. Anyway, yay for 300 shows. Thank you, Evil Controllers and Justin, for coming on the show. And that's really it. We'll be back next week at probably a different time slot.
Good night, guys.
Good night.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bases are belong to us.